UK Wine Show, show number 46. Wine Storage with Lucy Hargraves from Spiral Cellars. G'day. Welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 46 for the 20th of April 2007. My name's Chris Scott, and this week we're going to be talking with Lucy Hargraves, owner of Spiral Cellars, the wine storage company. Spiral Cellars install spiral staircases going into the ground. The sides of the staircase are lined with bottles of wine, creating a cool cellar in many ways. During the interview, we're going to be talking to Lucy about wine storage and the best conditions to keep wine. This is actually part of a two-part series. Next week, we're going to be looking at two leading suppliers of wine cabinets and looking at the advantages and disadvantages of these. But before we get into that, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. This year, another 85 hectares of English countryside will be planted with vines. That equates to 210 acres. This will increase our vineyard area by over 8% and will produce grapes to make 500,000 extra bottles of wine. A third of the planting will be by Chapel Down, who will plant 28 hectares, or 70 acres, this year and every year for the foreseeable future. 90% of Chapel Down's plantings will be the Champagne varieties, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier. And the reason for the planting is simple. English wine is back in demand. Chapel Down see it as a profitable, exciting and a growing market, and it seems the message that English wine is extremely good and worth paying extra for is finally getting through to consumers. Meanwhile, over in Spain, Pinot Noir will become a permitted grape variety for white cava as of this year's vintage. Growers in the region won't be caught short, though, since they already have supplies of the grape for use in sparkling rosés. Opinion over the decision has been divided, with some producers defending the use of indigenous grapes, while others are supporting the arrival of international varieties. And finally this week, a report into global warming by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change signals how grape growing across the world is likely to change. Areas already affected by drought are likely to worsen, so no surprise there. But there is good news for the UK wine industry. Yields are expected to increase in countries at higher latitudes. However, as climate change continues, the IPCC says the negative impacts are likely to outweigh the benefits, as more frequent floods will prove a danger to crops. Now, looking back, 90 years ago to 1917, Harper's Weekly had a listing for Thresher & Co. among the new companies. We wondered whether this was the start of what is now the high street chain, the Thresher Group. If anyone knows, please let us know. For the stories in full, please go to our website, www.3050.co.uk. That's it for this week. Back to you, Chris.
Thanks for that, Jane. While there's no direct link between the story on climate change and the increase in planting in English vineyards, many people do believe they are linked. The IPCC suggested that the temperature increase will cause agriculture to shift to higher latitudes. The fact that growers in the UK are planting like mad at the moment could be linked to climate change, although I suspect it's more likely linked to demand picking up significantly over the last couple of years, and also a shift to sparkling wines, which have improved the margins and the grape prices that growers receive, making more profit for people. After all, there was more vines planted in the UK in the early 1990s than there currently are. These were pulled out due purely to economics. Let's hope that the huge percentage increase, albeit from a small base, doesn't flood the market in 2010, 2012 when all this wine comes on stream. And I hope we're not staring down the gun of another boom-bust cycle. Next up, we've got the interview with Lucy Hargraves from Spiral Cellars. Hi, I'm here with Lucy Hargraves from Spiral Cellars. How are you, Lucy?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Spiral Cellars, you guys put cellars into buildings.
Yes, we install wine cellars into people's homes throughout the UK. Most of them actually are through London and South East, but we have national coverage.
How did you guys get into the business?
We actually heard of it through a friend of a friend. We'd heard that the business was for sale. The lady who'd been running it previously had been running it for 23 years. She got to the point where she wanted to sort of take a back seat in life, as it were, and put the business up for sale. So we learned a bit more about it, thought it looked like an interesting opportunity, and were bowled over and bid for it, and we won. So we've been running it for 2 years now.
And what were you doing before that?
My husband and I were running a business that was marketing for the construction industry. I myself as a qualified marketeer. Adrian, my husband, is a qualified architect. We were advising clients in the construction industry on how best to market their building products. And with Spiral Sellers, we have a third partner called Nigel, and he looks after all the finance side of the business.
Okay, so it's quite a good wee team, yourself and your husband and an accountant.
It is, because we've actually got the three main bases of a fundamental business covered, and we don't overlap that much, and we all have our specialist areas, so it works really well.
So what exactly is a Spiral Seller?
Imagine you walk into somebody's living room, and there's a trap door in the floor. You lift that trap door, and you walk down a spiral staircase. The spiral staircase is made of concrete steps. And then in the whole wall, you actually have lots of bins of where you put your wine. So each time you go down a step, you've got another row of bins you can access and access your wine.
How deep does one of these things go?
Well, our smallest cellar is 1.35 metres deep. So you could be actually stood in the cellar itself and your head is still above the ground level of the room. Or you can go down as deep as 3 metres. And once you're at the bottom, you really are quite down in the cellar, as it were. But we go in increments of 25 centimetres.
How many bottles can you hold?
Well, the 3-metre cellar holds 1,600 bottles,
okay.
Which is a fair collection.
I know, that's more than a one party, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And what, the small one holds?
The small one, the 1.35 mini, holds up to 650 bottles.
So still a fair amount of wine in there.
Exactly, yeah.
Excellent. What do they cost?
Well, the cheapest is about £8,000.
Yeah.
The most expensive one, say a 3-metre cellar with all the bells and whistles, so a motorised glass trap door, and we can fit carpet onto the steps, we can put a safe in the cellar as well. That could add up to about £22,000, including VAT.
All right. It's not for the people on a budget?
No, not really, but it's designed for people perhaps who are sort of growing into wine as a passion, perhaps. People who want to sort of build a collection and sort of basically sort of build their hobby in a way.
Is it for long-term storage or just to keep the bottles within the year?
It can be for both. And most of our customers actually have a good mixture. So they probably use the first 2 or 3 rows for wine that's just for quaffing, as it were, drinking on a daily basis. And then at the bottom of the cellar, they often put their pride and joy, the bottles that they're storing perhaps for, I don't know, their son's graduation or something. So yes, it can be designed so that you can have a good balance of wines for now, wines for later.
Why is a spiral cellar a good idea for storing that wine? You know, if you've got that really expensive bottle of Jacob's Creek, what do you need for a cellar to work? How does your cellar fit that part?
Well, wine is a living product, and it needs to be looked after in the right way. Otherwise, when you come to drink it, it won't be drinkable, because it's not stored correctly. We can go into that in a minute. But basically, a spiral cellar is a cool, dark, vibration-free and humid environment. It's humid because we have two ventilation pipes that feed into the cellar. One comes in at ceiling level of the cellar, and one feeds down the central spine of the staircase and comes out at the bottom level. And those two pipes then feed underground through to your nearest external wall to the outside. Now, when they're outside, the wind is blowing past your building and it's pulling air out of one pipe, and because of the air being sucked out, air is then going back into the cellar through the other pipe. So that's what we call a passive ventilation system. It's a natural exchange of air.
You haven't got any motors?
No, it's pure science of how it works. The cold air comes in at the top of the cellar. It sinks, apparently, because it's heavier than warm air, pushes the warm air out through the bottom pipe and then feeds outside. So it's that slow change of air that keeps the right humidity levels.
Okay, I can see that. Like a chimney on a house, sucking the smoke out.
Definitely, yeah. And the ground itself is what's keeping the cellar the right temperature. In the UK, the average ground temperature is about 11 degrees. So it's like a great big thermos flask. The soil and around the outside of the cellar is maintaining that sort of regular temperature.
And around 10 to 13 degrees is about what you want for...
Well, exactly. Wine needs to be stored at around 12 degrees. 5 degrees either side is fine, as long as there's no massive fluctuations from a high temperature to a low temperature. But throughout the year, because the summer's warmer, the winter's cooler, there's going to be a slow, gradual change from summer to winter anyway. That's fine. Wine can cope with that. It just doesn't like being frostbitten one day and in the heat the next.
Yeah. When the temperature changes, the liquid expands and contracts and moves the cork. Is that, that's what's going on, isn't it?
Yes.
Sort of oscillates the cork back and forth, breaking the seal over time.
Yes, and sort of expanding. And also, because the cellar is humid, that's keeping the cork moist and expanded. If the cork gets dry, it shrinks. And although the bottle is on its side, you will still get oxygen seeping into the bottle. And the oxygen seeping in oxygenates the wine, and therefore that's what causes it to go off.
See, that's something I never really understood, because a lot of wines have foil around the outside.
Yeah, they're not totally sort of watertight, as it were. There will still be some seepage going through those foil covers.
And the darkness is obviously an important thing, the lack of UV light.
Exactly. Wine doesn't like sunlight.
But you've got your top cellar's got a motorised glass.
Yes, and we recommend that the glass trapdoor goes into environments where the room is not, say, in a conservatory.
Okay.
So there's a certain amount of UV that is not going to go through the glass at all.
Special UV glass.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always think it's quite funny. You go to the supermarket and all the really expensive wines are at the top shelf of the supermarket and they're right by the lights. You know,
it's the worst thing they could do. Yeah, it really
is. Crazy. Is there any place you can't really put one of these things? What do you need to put a spiral cellar in?
Well, fundamentally, you need the ground floor of a property.
Yeah.
We once had an interesting scenario where we were asked to go and do a site survey on a third floor flat. So Adrian arrived and he said, well, I assume you've got the ground floor flat as well. Oh, no, I'm third floor. Well, you get on well with your neighbours then. So that's a fundamental.
Yeah. So houseboats are out as well?
Definitely houseboats are out. Somebody talked about having one in a yacht the other day. We didn't think that was a good idea either. Even in areas where there's a high water table, we can cope with that, because part of the cellar system is to line the hole that we dig with a great big thick butyl liner.
Mm-hmm.
And that butyl liner is also then sealed to the damp-proof course of the house. So we've basically got a seamless waterproof layer throughout the whole of the ground floor of a property.
A lot of London's on a floodplain. That's why they built up the banks for the Thames.
Yes.
Have you had any problems with flooding in your cellars?
No, we haven't actually. In fact, we've got a lot of cellars in Chiswick. So much so that we even say Chiswick's like a colander because there's so many holes in it everywhere with cellars. And no, there's not a problem at all. I mean, if they're so unfortunate enough to have water that goes really high, then it's going to go in through the trapdoor, but the whole of the ground floor of the property is going to be ruined anyway. So Weybridge, we've heard of stories where they've had a lot of flooding problems. And people who've got basements and have used their basement to store their wine, the basement hasn't always been all that well waterproofed. So it's coming in from the ground in rather than from the top down.
Yeah.
Whereas our cellars, with our thick waterproof liner, there's no way you're going to get water coming in from down inward.
Who is your competition in the market? You know, when you're tendering for your product, who are you up against?
Well, to be honest, actually, we're in a very fortunate position that we don't have any direct competition. Nobody else does exactly what we do. Really, our only competition is other forms of wine storage. So people who supply the wine cabinets, those are the cabinets that look like a fridge and you'd probably put in your kitchen or utility room or something.
Like the ones behind me.
Yes. But unfortunately, Adrian and I live in a ground floor flat in London, and we've got a very nice position of having our own parking, but unfortunately it's under our flat. So putting a cellar down in is not really an option at the moment.
No.
So we've had to resort to getting some wine cabinets of our own. And I have to say, not wishing to knock the competition too much, but I find them really hard. Because storing the bottles top and tail is really quite difficult if they're not Bordeaux-shaped bottles. If they're slightly longer necks or slightly bigger, they don't stack very well. And our last house, we did actually have a cellar, and it was very easy. So I have first-hand experience of the competition.
Excellent.
Another option actually is if people are fortunate enough to have a spare room or a basement, then they can be converted into proper cellars. So if it's a basement, you could get a company in to waterproof the room, insulate it and install a refrigeration cooling unit, or equally a room in sort of the ground floor, or even above in the house.
Yeah. I know of a wine merchant outside of London, and on their second floor they've just got a whole raft of air conditioning units to keep their wine nice and chilled. It seems to work.
I mean, one downside I'm afraid of those type of systems are that there is going to be running cost, so you are going to consume power, and also being a machine, at some point they will break down. And there's horrible...
Usually high time of summer.
Exactly. There's horrible stories of people going on holiday, height of summer, coming back home and their fridge is broken down. And their fine wine collection's been cooking whilst they've been away.
Nice.
In actual fact, talking about wine being ruined, Standard Life Bank did some research recently, and they discovered that they reckoned about 87 million bottles of wine a year in the UK are wasted, ruined, because people aren't storing them properly.
I thought you might have said they're wasted because the wrong type of person was drinking them.
Well, I guess there might be some of that as well. But no, they're wasted because they're just being kept in the wrong place. So when people are drinking them, they're horrible.
Yeah.
So they're probably storing them perhaps in a little wine rack on the top of their fridge freezer. Yeah. Or next to their fireplace in the living room.
I've been to a few places when I've been running wine tastings and you have a lovely wine rack right beside the fire.
Exactly.
Fire's going, yep. Really hot, fire's not going, really cold, so you get that whole temperature change thing going off.
People are showing off their, perhaps some fancy bottles they've bought, but they're not going to be able to drink them when they open them. I mean, they reckon that was £34 billion worth of wine. That's such a waste.
I know. Never mind. Okay, Lucy, I think we'll wrap it up there. Cheers and thanks very much.
All right, thank you, Chris.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Lucy. Next week, we're going to be looking at wine cabinets. There are two different types of technology used for wine cabinets, and we're going to be looking at both of them and looking at their advantages and disadvantages. So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show was brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show was produced by Jane Scott and recorded and edited by Chris Scott. The news was read by Jane Scott and researched by Sandra Clement. The music for the UK Wine Show is Griffe de Jingle 1 by Marcel de la Jartelle and Silence by Etoile Noire.